Yid Beis Tishrei will be the Yortzeit of Rav Avram Malachal. He was called Rav Avram the Malach, and we'll see shortly why. A special Torah, a special title that really nobody else was zeichet to. He was the son of the Mezitra Magid. I would explain a little bit as to why he reached such great madrigas of Kedusha and Tara and Precious. You would think that somebody who was called a Malachal, you know, he was probably lived a ripe long life, 60s, 70s, 80s. He died at the age of 32. Avram Malachal. And Pinchas Karzer said that had he had Arichas Yamim, all the tzaddikim would have been nichna to Avram Malachal. Even after the passing of his father, the Magid from Mezritch, they wanted to be makabel his maris, that he should be the next Rebbe. But he refused B'Shem Oifen to be makabel that title, and what it meant to succeed the Baal Shem Tov and to succeed his father. And later on in his years, he became a Rav, but like we said, he had a very short life. The Tzaddikim said about him that when he would daven, he would say Bircha the Bracha of Yoytze Orev Arei Choshech. He was such a hislavus, he would such a fire when he would say it. They said that you could take a match and put it on him and the match would light. But not Baguzma, like literally, they said that you could take a match and light him. Because that's the hislavus which he had when he would daven. One of his great grandchildren of David Moshe from Chorktov, David Moshe. He said, I don't understand why they're called the Zayda, the Malach, because really, a Yid is higher than a Malach. So what type of a Shvach is that to call him the Malach? So he says, the Elamai, the Pshat is that his Neshama was Zichr higher than a Malach. But the title of Malach is going on his Guf. That he was so Kaddish that his Guf was at the Kedusha of a Malach. One of his great Einiklich as well, the Rebbe from Buash, he said that my Zayda was Zeichet to the title of Malach because of his tremendous Precious and the Sigufim and his Hanhaga which he had on Tisha B'Av. We spoke about this once. That once the Zachar Magid sent his son, Rabbi Yitzchak, to go to see the conduct of the Malachal as he does Tisha B'Av. So he said, what I saw by the Malach is that as soon as it starts to get dark, he says that the Malach sits down and he puts his head between his knees and he stays like that for the next 24 hours. Occasionally he would get up and he would say, is Mashiach here yet? And nobody would give him the affirmative. He put his head back down and he would go back into his dveikus, whatever he was. And he would wake up out of this dveikus at the end of Tisha B'Av. As soon as Tisha B'Av was over, he would come out. Whatever nyanim he had, chleisnisht. But that was his avoda. From nightfall to nightfall. He said about him that another reason why he was called the Malach is because, you know, he ate every day, but he would only eat the skin of a dove or the skin of a bird. That was what he ate every day. That's something you can't humanly survive off, like the skin of an animal. But that's what he lived. They said that the fact that he was alive was pasha l'malam in atav. It wasn't like, you know, any concealments. It was literally open for everybody to see. Now, how he lived like a Malach. He was so mufrash and muvdal from this world. In fact, he had a very close kesher with the Baal HaTanya. And the way that this began was because the Baal HaTanya was the Ari Shebechavur of the Magid when it came to Niglat HaTayr. In fact, it was the Magid who commissioned the Baal HaTanya to write Shulchan Aruch Harav. He put him up to it. But he wasn't, you know, because he had the Yad in Nigla, he wasn't, you know, the Ari Shebechavur in Nistar, who was the Malach. And so the Magid from Mezritch arranged the Baal HaTanya should learn with his son and teach him Nigla, and the Malachal should teach the Baal HaTanya Kabbalah and Chassidus. And the Chassidim say that the Yesodus of the Baal HaTanya in Sefer HaTanya all come from the Malachal. It was the Malachal who gave the tools to the Baal HaTanya to write the Sefer HaTanya. you know, we don't know much about this chavrusa shahat between the Balatanya and the Malachal. But we do know this, a few stories, that when they sat down to begin from Me'emasai in Mesechus Brachos, so the Balatanya started to explain the Mishnah, but already the Malachal couldn't, you know, he was out of his kelim with Me'emasai, Kor, and Shema Barav, and he started Shas, you know, Shema in the nighttime, Me'emasai. And so his reply to the Balatanya was, Me'emasai is a lashon of Ema, so fear. Me'emasai Kor, and Shema Barav, so when a Yid says Kriya Shema at night, he has to say with the Ema Sabayr, and already the Malachal was in his Vekas at that point. You know, Balatanya had lots of drushes to say, but the Malachal was in his Emasai. When they began Maseches Beah together, so of course, Amar HaZaken, the Balatanya was explaining it, the Amkus of what it means, you know, Noilad and the whole Indian of Muksa and Shabbos and Yontif. But the Malachal had his own Taichan, Beitza. He said, Beitza is Veshe Tevas Yud Beis, Tseirufe Havaya. And he gave a whole drasha of that. The Havayas of Shabbos are different than the Havayas of the Chol, that's the Indian of Muksa. He had his way Alpi Pnimius to look at Shas and that. Like the Zohar says, that all the teachings of the Tanaim and Amoraim are all Gebayit, they're all built on Pnimius Atar. That's the whole thing. The Balat Tanya so much enjoyed the time which he had with the Malach that it wasn't infrequent that because the Malach was in his Dvekas a lot, that the Balat Tanya would go over to the clock and he would turn the hand back so that he would extend the time learning with the Malach. The Malach, you know, he's sitting and learning in Dvekas, not realizing what time was going by. So the Balat Tanya would do that in order to extend the time learning with the Malach. On one occasion, they went together to like a field in order to, you know, do whatever Yehudim and Dvekas and his boy did this that they were going to do then. So they found some type of a bar, and they were in the bar, and they were doing their inyanim. And then at some point, the Balatanya looked towards the Malach, and he saw that he was in such a Dvekas that he was going to, the Shambo was going to leave his body. So he needed an Eitzah right away. So he screamed out, Ba'al Karachacha Tochai. It's the lesson of the Mishnah Avos. Against your will, you're alive in this world. I mean, you don't have a shus to give up your life. And he said, with that, he came out of his trance, out of his dvekas, and the Balatanya said, I don't know where that came from, that in my mouth, but Hashem put the words in my mouth to be able to save the Malach, because he was at such a crucial point that he could have been a stelik. It was min hashamayim that those words came down, and I was able to blurt that out and to save the Malach. Another occasion, similarly, that the Malach was in a very deep dvekas, and the Balatanya noticed it, and he realized it was a sakana for the Malachal to be in such a dvekas. So he went ahead very quickly, and he took off his tefillin derashi and put on his tefillin d'avinatan. And in doing that, somehow it was able to stop whatever inyan was going on. And the Malachal said about that, v'hachachma tachayes be'alaha, that with chachma, it gives life to the one who wears it. Because in Kabbalah and in Chassidus, so Tefillin de Rashi are called Bina, and the Tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam are called Chachma. They're considered to be higher than Rashi Tefillin. So that's why he said, Ha-Pechachma, it's a pasuk in Mishle, Ve-Ha-Chachma Tachayas Be'aleha, that when he put on Chachma, he saved my life. That's what the Malach said.
The Malach only had that kind of debekus when the Baal Tanya was around?
No, could have been other times too. We don't have all the stories. We know Mamish. Again, I tried to say every once in a while that the stories which you have are mamash of mashu de mashu, you know, of things which we don't know. And you think about it, these are people who lived for tens of years. And we have, what, 10 stories, you know, of the Malachal? How many stories do we have of the Malachal? Somebody who was obviously a very private person. He sat most of the day draped in a talis in Dvekas. And it was completely mufresh and buvdol. I mean, this was not hence he was called the Malach. But, you know, we know stories more about other tzaddikim, but we don't have very much about the Malach. Especially, he lived only 32 years. As
a matter of fact, even hearing that.
When he started to say Kaddish for his father, the Maggid, after his passing, he was in the middle of the first Kaddish, and he said, Yizgadol v'yizkaddish me'rava, and he stopped. And he didn't continue the Kaddish. And he says, I see already that my father doesn't need any Aliyas Neshama. He says, where he needs to be, where he needs to be. And he stopped in the middle of the Kaddish, and he didn't say Kaddish for him. That's what he said.
Not even
proud, like, really happy about that. famous doctor. His name was Dr. Gordon. This Dr. Gordon originally was a Kaifer, and he was discovered by the Magid from Mezvich to be a Chassid and also to be his doctor. No story about that. I think we spoke about it when we talked about the Magid. So, this...
Huh?
I mean, we spoke about the Magid. I think we did the Shir on the Magid. So, the visioner said that the Zayd, the Magid, he wouldn't eat anybody's matzahs. He would only eat the matzahs of his son. Because he says in order to be machmir on chametz and pesach properly, you have to be a malach. My son who's a malach, I'll eat his matzahs. And so the malach would send his matzahs, which all the kiddurim and all the chumras, to his father on erev pesach. So he would eat the matzahs of his son. And this Dr. Gordon was the shliach to send the matzahs each year to the Magid. And on this occasion, so he was thinking to himself, you know, the Magid is going to be matzahs for the Malachal. You know, it's probably very special matzahs. So what he did was is that he took one of his matzahs and he stuck it in there. And he took one of the Malach's matzahs and he took it out. And he also wants to have matzah from the Malach, right, Maish?
Real chokham.
Yeah, real. So he was sitting at the Seder and he took some of the matzah and put it into his mouth. And he started to feel that he was losing himself. He pushed it, it was like he was gonna die, basically. And all he could say was, Rabbi, the Rav. I mean, referring to the Magid, he needs the Rav. So they quickly... So what happened afterwards was they ran to the Magid and they told him what was happening. And they gave... The Magid sent some type of a potion, some type of a medicine, which, when taking it, would cause him to basically barf up the matzah which he had just eaten. So after he got better from that, so he told, you know, told what happened. He told everyone what happened, that he took the matzah, the malachal, and that's why he ate it. So the Magid said, it's a good thing that you stopped him when you did, because had you not, the kedusha of the malach's matzah would have been so intense, it would have burned you up completely, and you wouldn't have lived from
the
experience.
Oh, that happened to the doctor.
Yeah, to the doctor. I mean, you couldn't be soible the kedusha of the matzah of the malach. So, basically, the Magid saved his life. So we had said before that he had this Rebbe She'inyan on Tisha B'Av, that he would put his head down, basically mace lace, and that was his inyan. So, as we had said before, that Rebbe Yitzchak from Advil, who was the son of the Zlatcha from Magid, came and he observed this inyan of the Malachal. And when he came home, he said that he, at the end of the fast of Tisha B'Av, so the Malach would have like an onion. That was what he would eat at the end. That was his onion. He had an onion at the end of Tisha B'Av. And Rabbi Yitzchak from Advil, he observed the way the Malach ate the onion, and he was able to be oimid on the kavanas of the Malach in eating the onion. When he came home, and he sliced up an onion, and he started to eat the onion with the kavanas, and he says that night in a dream, a Malach came to him, and he started to scream at him. He said to scream in the Malach, he says, you're machutzef. He says, but you think you can copy the Rebava Malachal? You think, what, you think you just copy what Tzaddik can do? And he let him rip. The Malach was giving him Musa. Big target to have a Malach rip on you also. But he said that he gave him big Musa. He said, but it means to copy the Tzaddik. Don't try to copy the Tzaddik, because you see his Mechav and Kavanas, and you... So, it's a very important lesson when it comes to, you know, Tzaddikim. And my Rebbe speaks about this a lot. Especially in Rafshitz, they're very into that. Rebbe always says there's no copycats in Rafshitz. That's one of the biggest errors in Rafshitz, is to copy other tzaddikim. Everybody has to find their way and do it authentic. That's the main thing, not to try to copy. It takes away from the authenticity. You can learn inyonim, but the main thing is that it has to come from within. Everybody finds their way, finds the mahalach, the avoda. But what you see from here is that he got musr from that. The malach said, you know, copy. It's not copy because he ate an onion and he had kavanah, that you should do the same. When he went to go visit his father-in-law, who was the Mishnah's Chachamim, big tzaddik of five-ish, and everybody heard that the Malach was coming, and the people knew about this great tzaddik, and again, he was very young, he was in his 20s when he was coming, and a whole great oilam came to come see him, And when they came to see him, he was just sitting in the room, looking out the window. And he was looking at some type of a mountain. And there was a huge oila, maybe thousands of people, and he was just staring out, looking at a mountain. So there was one misnagid, who didn't like that. So he said to the Rebbe, he made a comment, like, "No, Rebbe, what you looking at?" Something like that. So the Rebbe said, I'm looking at this mountain, and I'm thinking to myself, how is it that a mountain which is made out of offer, which is made out of dirt and sand, could be so high and have such gaiva? That's what I'm thinking to myself right now. So silence is obviously the misnagid. But basically they learned from that he had this huge oilam, and you know, he was trying to be machni himself and to come to a place that, you know, that's me, I'm that person. I'm made out of dust, I'm made of the sand of the earth, and what, I should be a bal gaiva? As we said before, that his face was pretty much always covered with the talis. And once he was a sandik at a bris, and the moyel was the marinai. And that's probably a big schuss for the baby. And he says that at some point during the bris, that the talis of the malach came off, and his face was exposed. And he says that everybody was basically thrown off, like the magid lost his the knife fell out of his hand, and there was a whole ruckus which took place because the pachad that everybody had from the fact that he was able to see his face caused the whole disturbance in the whole bris.
It's like Moshe.
Huh?
It's like Moshe when he wore a mask.
Like Moshe? Kind of animation, right? I thought you meant this Moshe.
Moshe is not a trouble wearing a mask on COVID.
I'll wear my cloak next week.
Everybody was so... I don't know what the baby was, but it says that there was not even a minion which was left. There was such a pachad in the room that the throngs of people who came for the bris, there was basically not even a minion left. In fact, when the great-grandchildren, the legends in Chassidus, the Rebbe Baruchel from Mezhbish, and the Dagamach and Ephraim, they once came to see the Malach, and they got a glimpse of his face from the window, they went running in the other direction. Rebbe Baruchel, it says, that he lost a shoe as he was running away, and the Degel dropped his Tehillim, because they had such a pachad of seeing the Malach. I can't even imagine the Kedusha of such a person. But even these great tzaddikim couldn't be soivel just to even see his face. This is a very interesting story. This next story. He had two chassidim who were very wealthy, big admirers of the Malach. And one of them had a wife who was a very difficult woman. And the other one, he had a big Yerusha of like 100,000 zuz. And he had a debt collector who was coming for like 10,000 zuz. And if he would sell his possessions, if he would sell the Yerusha, he would be able to pay back the debt. But the Malach told him, don't do it. But the collector kept coming and knocking on the door. And then without telling the Magid, he basically, the Malach, he sold some of his Yerusha and he paid off the debt. What happened after that? He got sick. He got very, very sick. And with his friend, they would go see the Malach every year. He sent a kvittel and a pigeon to the Rebbe, to the Malach, saying, you know, daven for me. And as soon as the Malach saw the kvittel and the pigeon, he said he sold his Yerusha, didn't he? So he said, Rebbe, how do you know? He says, I'm not going to tell you the whole inyan, but this is a certain secret that you should know. The neshama comes into this world three times to fix his tikkunim he needs to do in this world, but rarely a fourth time. Hashem sometimes will have a rachmanis that will send the neshama back into this world a fourth time, but because it's such a big rachmanis, he's given life, but in a way that he doesn't have real life. How so? Because the Gemara says that there are three people that they don't see Gehenna because they already have Gehenna in this world. That's a person who suffers from poverty, diktuki anias, cholim me'ayim, stomach issues, and collectors.
Heartburn?
Huh? No. I don't know. Cholim me'ayim, it means like stomach, I don't know exactly which stomach issues, but... And collectors, a person who is always, you know, running away from debt collectors, and a person who has a difficult wife. So he says, so these two people, the one who had a difficult wife and the other one who had these collectors, so they were of these neshamas that came into this world for a fourth time. And they had to live a life of of an Isha Ra and the debt collectors. But as soon as he tried to patter himself from that, so his life was now in Sakana, because he was only able to exist in this world because of the fact that he had these collectors. As soon as he sold the Yerusha and paid it off, so now his life was in Sakana again. So he was able to be poiled for him. But he said, you see that if a tzaddik gives an Eitzah, you know, even though you're thinking it's going to be easier for you, you have to, you know, listen carefully to Eitzah of the tzaddik. Yeah? His father, the Maggid from Mezrich, and I don't understand this story entirely, and even the Klausenberger Rebbe who tells over the story says, I'm leaving out a lot of the pratim because I can't be Megalit, so we only have a Chatzi story, but there's something to learn from it. He says, once it happened that the Malach fell into a river, and he was in big Sakana. And afterwards he saw his father, after he was able to emerge and to come out safely. So he told his son, he came to him in some type of a chalayim, and he told him that because of a certain inyan, which the Klausenberger Rebbe didn't say, he says that the sar and shamayim on the water had tainas in you, and that's why you were thrown into the river. And that light which you saw in the water, that was me, that I came to save you. That was me. I came to save you myself. And then the Maggid said this to his son. He says, you know, it's been a long time since I left this world, and I've forgotten the terrible stench that the Olam Hazeh has. He says, had I known before coming to save you how difficult it would be for me to come to this world, I wouldn't have come to save you. That's what the Maggid said to him.
The Maggid was the father of the
Malach. Yeah. So the Klausenberger said, you can imagine, he says, we're talking about his son, who was a Kaddish Tzaddik. And he says, I wouldn't have come back to save you because of the challenge of what it means to come to this world. Again, I don't understand it, but this is what the Rebbe said over such a Maisa. So, the Malachal, he was involved in tremendous precious, like we said before. He was completely detached from anything physical of this world, which is why he was called Malach. And his father came to him in like a chalayim. He appeared to him afterwards to tell him that you should stop this practice because this is not the right derech. I tell you this with instructions of the mitzvah of Kibbutz. So the Malach said back to his father, he says, I don't recognize you as my father. I only have one father, Avrahamim. So he said back to him. So he says, you don't recognize me as your father? He says, I'm looking around the house. You have a lot of Yerusha for me. So the Malach said back to him, he says, I'm Meichel in the entire Yerusha. As soon as he said that, everything in the room which belonged to him, which he got from his father, it disintegrated. As soon as he said those words, a meichel on it, and everything just disappeared. It went up in flames, whatever it was, it just completely disappeared. Like we said, that he passed away at a very young age, and he left over two children. One of them eventually would be the father, the Rishner, and that whole dynasty of Rishon, which even till today, Boyan and other great chassidus. Rav Shlomo Karliner, who we spoke about not long ago, he adopted the children of the Malach. And he said that he brought them into his home, and he would sleep with those children. And he took them as if they were his own. And he said, when I sleep with these boys, he says that these boys, they come from the family of the Malachal and from the family of the Maggid. That's Malach's Beis David. And I myself am Mashiach ben Yosef. So when I'm together with these boys, this is a yichud of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. That's it.
Is there a story how he passed away?
What?
You know how he passed away?
It doesn't say. Just at a very young age. I don't have any. I didn't see anything about his actual histology.
Well, Tanya wasn't there to see.
My money's on Vegas.
What happened to the Rav who ate the matzah that wasn't the right matzah?
The doctor.
The doctor?
No.
What happened to the Rav?
Oh, the Maggid. He's asking that the Maggid eat the switched up matzah.
Maybe because he gave matzah to the Maggid, that's why the Maggid saved him, because he did a favor for the Maggid. Great tzaddikim. Still see Yagalina Vakoy.